Welcome to St. John's Lutheran Church. It is so good for us to be here together this morning. It sounds awfully quiet out there. All right, I can see they're breathing. All right, that's a good thing. It's good for us to be together. It's a little darker this early in the morning now, but it's really bright in here with all of our smiles and all of our praise and all of our thanksgiving. And so it is good to be together. But we've gathered this morning to be in worship. So let us begin our worship with a brief order for confession and forgiveness. Please rise. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who creates, redeems, and sustains us and all creation. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Faithful God, have mercy on us. We confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We turn from your loving embrace and go our own ways. We pass judgment on one another before examining ourselves. We place our own needs before those of our neighbors. We keep your gift of salvation to ourselves. Make us humble, cast away our transgressions, and turn us again to life in you, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Almighty God, in His mercy, has given His Son to die for us, and for His sake forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by His authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our gathering song is Sing a Song. So we'll sing together.
I want to sing a song for you, Lord. Lord, for you I want to sing a song. I want to lift my voice to heaven. Listen to the angels sing along. A song of your faithfulness, a song of your grace, and of your loving kindness, and the glory of your name. With everything that's in me, Lord, listen to me sing. I want to sing a song for you, I want to sing a song. I want to live my life for you, Lord. Lord, for you I want to live my life. I want to praise the name of Jesus. Pray above all things you're glorified. A song of your faithfulness, a song of your grace, and of your loving kindness, and the glory of your name. With everything that's in me, Lord, listen to me say, I want to sing a song for you, I want to sing a song.
I sing a song about your mercy, I sing about your love, your goodness, Lord, your righteousness. I want to sing a song of your faithfulness,
song of your grace, and of your loving kindness, and the glory of your name. With everything that's in me, Lord, listen to me say, I want to sing a song for you, I want to sing a song. A song of your faithfulness, oh, and of your loving kindness, to the glory of your name. With everything that's in me, Lord, listen to me say, I want to sing a song for you, I want to sing a song. Sing holy, holy, holy. We'll sing holy, holy, holy. We'll shout holy, holy. Are you Lord Almighty? We'll sing holy, holy, holy. We'll shout holy, holy, holy. We'll sing holy.
Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord of the feast, you have prepared a table before all peoples and poured out your life with abundance. Call us again to your banquet. Strengthen us by what is honorable, just, and pure, and transform us into a people of righteousness and peace through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
First lesson is from Isaiah chapter 25, verses 1 through 9. O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will praise your name, for you have done wonderful things, plans formed of old, faithful and sure. For you have made the city a heap, the fortified city a ruin. The palace of aliens is a city no more. It will never be rebuilt. Therefore, strong peoples will glorify you. City of ruthless nations will fear you. For you have been a refuge to the poor, a refuge to the needy in their distress, a shelter from the rainstorm, and a shade from the heat. When the blast of ruthless was like a winter rainstorm, the noise of aliens like the heat in a dry place, you subdued the heat with shades of clouds. The song of the ruthless was stilled. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wines, of rich food filled with marrow, of well-aged wine strained clear. And he will destroy this mountain, the shroud that is cast over all peoples, the sheet that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. Then the Lord God will wipe away the tears from all faces, and the disgrace of his people he will take away from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, Lo, this is our God, who we have waited for him, so that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second lesson is from Philippians chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. My brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord. In this way, my beloved, I urge you, Euodia, and I urge Syntyche, to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, I ask you also, my loyal companion, help these women, for they have struggled beside me in the work of the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say, rejoice. Let your gladness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. The word of the Lord.
Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 22nd chapter. Once more, Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding banquet, but they would not come. Again, he sent other slaves, saying, Tell those who have been invited, Look, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet. But they made light of it and went away, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his slaves, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his troops, destroyed those murderers, and burned their city. Then he said to his slaves, The wedding is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go therefore into the main streets and invite everyone you find to the wedding banquet. Those slaves went out into the streets and gathered all whom they found, both good and bad. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing a wedding robe. And he said to him, Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding robe? And he was speechless. The king said to the attendants, Bind him hand and foot and throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. The Gospel of our Lord. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, the trumpets had sounded, the bells had been rung, and everybody knew that there was a really important message about to be shared. In fact, it ended up as the most incredible message that he ever heard. Now, everyone knew that the king's son was getting married. It had been all that people could talk about in their idle moments for months. So the marriage wasn't the surprise. What was the most amazing thing was that the king's messengers were going about inviting everyone to the banquet. even him. Everyone, from the shopkeeper down the road to the man who ran the inn, the shoemaker, the carpenter, the fabric seller, even the shifty folks, you know, the beggars, the vagrants, the prostitutes, the thieves, they were all being invited. Everyone, even him, was being invited to the marriage feast for the king's son. What an honor. What an incredible honor to be asked. Now, you would have expected that only the most important, the most powerful, the wealthiest, the most beautiful people would have been invited to such a party. You would think that those who were owed favors or were willing to trade favors, those with a high stake in the kingdom, they would be the ones invited. And that was a fact that had him worried. You see, this invitation sounded way too good to be true because he was insignificant in the world. He was boring and unimportant. Was he supposed to be the guest of the king? Who would believe it? That can't possibly be. And yet, there were all of the king's messengers, just like the one who had talked with him, inviting everyone they could see. He even read the invitation that the messenger had handed to him. He could hardly believe it. It said, "You are cordially invited to be the king's guest at a dinner celebration honoring his son's marriage. You are expected to bring nothing. All we ask is that guests wear a wedding robe so that we know you received this invitation and aren't just trying to crash a party." The messengers then went on to sort of explain to everybody that the robe didn't have to be fancy or formal. You didn't have to go rush out and buy a brand new one. Any old robe was fine. They only were asked to wear a robe to the feast. That was the invitation. Simple as it was, and yet it still bothered him. It seemed that the messengers were inviting everyone they saw, and yet the invitation said to wear a robe so that they would know that you were invited. Well, if everyone was invited, why should a robe be necessary? And was it really true that any robe would do? These things troubled him greatly. Now, it was wonderful to be invited. It would be wonderful to be able to enter the palace, to see the opulence, to take part in the banquet. It just all sounded like a joke. Was it worth the risk? I mean, he had a robe somewhere, but was it worth digging out, especially if they were really inviting everybody? But more important, was it worth digging out if this was really all just a joke? So he decided to go to the palace for the banquet, just in case it was all true. But he decided that he didn't really need to look around and find his robe after all. I mean, they were inviting everyone, and he was sure that he could explain if he had to. And so he went to the palace, and it was grand. It was incredible beyond his wildest dream and the people. He didn't think he'd ever seen so many people. And you should see what some of them were trying to pass off as wedding robes. Oy, right? He thought that it was actually better to wear no robe at all than some of the stuff being worn. Now, there were some robes that were as grand as the palace itself, but not too many. Some were scruffy, some were tacky, some were well-worn. He thought his decision was probably best. Then he saw the king himself. And unfortunately, the king saw him without a wedding robe. And the king had him thrown out. Not just thrown out, but tied up and thrown out as if he was a criminal. And he knew that there were real criminals in on that party. And the last thought that went through his mind as he was being tossed out of the palace that day was, I wouldn't have even had to look that hard to find a robe. I had stuff like that at home. I didn't die. Are you wearing a robe? Where is your robe? What is this wedding robe that we're all supposed to wear? What's going on in this story, in this parable? Jesus is again sounding a warning. He's being an alarm to wake us up to lives of love and care. See, the real important thing that Jesus is waking us up to is the fact that our interactions with God are always intended to be a celebration, a party, a feast, a banquet. Nothing to fear, but a whole lot to celebrate. And Jesus wants us to know that we are invited to the wedding feast, to the celebration which is the kingdom of God. See, we have been invited to the banquet, God's eternal banquet, the very kingdom of God itself, and all of us have been invited. In fact, everyone is invited, everyone. All God asks is a change of heart, repentance, a change of mind. All God asks is a life of love for neighbor to show that you are invited to the party. Now, your life won't earn you the invitation. Just like owning a tuxedo won't get you invited to more weddings. But your life of love shows God, and more importantly, it shows the world around us that you are part of God's celebration. The robe doesn't have to be fancy. Your change of heart doesn't have to be overly dramatic. You don't have to like move to a third world country and start feeding the hungry. But if you feel called for that, we will pray for you. You don't have to quit your job and enter a convent or a monastery. In Philippians today, Paul tells us the simple ways to be part of the celebration of God's kingdom, and it begins with rejoice. Always rejoice. For Paul, being part of God's celebration is grounded in joy, in gentleness, in prayer, and in peace. Paul encourages us not to worry. That's easier said than done. But then Paul gives us a tool to help us instead. And that tool is prayer, talking with God, listening for God. These are ways to rid ourselves of worry. We get to be part of God's celebration. And in that celebrating, we get to be connected to God in prayer. We get to be connected to God through sacraments. We get to be connected to God in the peace of being family together. Throughout his letters, Paul encourages us all to put on Christ, to clothe yourselves with Christ, or clothe yourselves with love. These are more images that we can use for that wedding robe that we are encouraged to wear in Jesus' parable. It's not ever what we have done that clothes us. It is the life Jesus lived for us. It is the suffering and death that he endured for us. It is the resurrection that pours God's love into our lives. This is our wedding robe. So then how do we live as followers of Jesus? Some of us have great looking robes inspired by the life of Jesus. Others have robes that are a little more tattered, but we try. We try, and Jesus forgives. God forgives and gives another chance, a new life in Christ. How are we to live? As followers who try to love one another as Jesus inspires. See, that's the source of our joy. It's not about me. It's never about me. It is always about caring for our neighbor, about seeing our neighbor as a real person. This is seen in what we do and how we live for the sake of someone else. It can be beautiful to see, or it can even be messy but helpful. The love of God comes into our lives and then invites us to live that same love, to share it, to bring it with us wherever it is that we go, so that a celebration can break out at any time. Why is the robe necessary? The request to wear a robe is an invitation to live as a child of God. How we live and love our neighbors is important. It's just not for us, because we're already invited. We're in. God has named us and claimed us in baptism. He feeds us at this table of grace. We are changed by the love of God, and now we get to walk through our lives clothed with Christ, dressed in love, walking around in a wedding robe. Paul continues to help us to see what life clothed with Christ can look like, as he tells us about to think about and to do, to live and to share. He says to us, whatever is true, honorable, just, and pure, whatever is pleasing or commendable, whatever shows excellence and is worthy of praise, that's what we can try to do. Now, the praise may never come from the world around us, but the praise will come from God as well as peace. That's the promise that Paul makes today, that the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will be ours. We are invited to be a child of God. Each of us are invited to be a follower of Christ. We are invited to love our neighbors, our families, our friends and strangers, enemies, everyone. All we are asked is to wear our robe, to put on Christ, to live God's love with the world so that the people who need to see it, feel it, know it, can do just that through us. So where's your robe? Amen. Our worship continues in prayer. Please rise. With confidence in God's grace and mercy, let us pray for the church, the world, and all those in need. Gracious host, fill your church with a spirit of joyous hospitality. We pray for bishop, teachers, church leaders, and all children of God as they invite others to your table of boundless grace. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious host, as creation waits with eager longing for redemption, protect your creatures that are mistreated. Restore valleys, mountains, and pastures, and still and running waters. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious host, as you set a table in the presence of enemies, so bless the efforts of diplomats, international peace workers, and world leaders who navigate conflict. May they proceed with dialogue and understanding so that justice and peace prevail. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious host, let your gentleness be known among those who are weary or ill. Strengthen doctors, medical care workers, and caretakers who see to their need. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious host, when we are quick to judge outward appearance, remind us how you clothe all in your mercy. We pray for ministries that provide needed clothing and other personal care assistance in this community. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious host, as we remember those who have died and are gathered at the heavenly banquet, comfort us with your presence. Assure us of your peace at all time. Lord, in your mercy. Listen as we call on you, O God, and enfold in your loving arms all for whom we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please rise as we join together in our offering prayer. Blessed are you, O God, maker of all things. You have set before us these gifts of your good creation. Prepare us for your heavenly banquet. Nourish us with this rich food and drink, and send us forth to set tables in the midst of a suffering world. Through the bread of life, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks, praise.
It is indeed right and salutary that we should at all times and in all places offer thanks and praise to you, O Lord, Holy Father, through Christ our Lord. In him you have received us as your children, made us citizens of your kingdom, and given us your Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth. Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth. In mercy for our fallen world, you gave your only Son, that all those who believe in him should not perish, but have eternal life. We give thanks to you for the salvation you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Send now your Holy Spirit into our hearts, that we may receive our Lord with a living faith as he comes to us in his Holy Supper.
Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.
In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread. He gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom. Teach us, pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And as we discover today that we have been invited to God's great banquet, it is good to hear words from our Lord Jesus that ring in our ears. And those words are, I love you. I forgive you. Supper's ready. Come.
I will feast at the table of the Lord. I will feast at the table of the Lord. I won't hunger anymore at His table. I will feast at the table of the Lord. I will feast at the table of the Lord. I won't hunger anymore at His table. Come all you weary, come and find. His yoke is easy, His burden light. He is able, He will restore at the table of the Lord. There is peace at the table of the Lord. There is peace at the table of the Lord. I won't hurry anymore at His table. There is healing at the table of the Lord. There is healing at the table of the Lord. Oh, and I won't suffer anymore at His table. Come all you weary, come and find. His yoke is easy, His burden light. He is able, He will restore at the table of the Lord. I know He has a place for me. Oh, what joy will fill my heart.
Please rise. As the body and blood of our Lord Jesus fills us with strength, we are also sent out in love and service. And so together we pray. We give you thanks, gracious God, that you have fed us again with food beyond compare. The body and blood of Christ, lead us from this place, nourished and forgiven, into your beloved vineyard, to wipe away the tears of all who hunger and thirst. Guided by the example of the same Jesus Christ, and led by the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Stay cool, stay dry, stay safe as we go in peace and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You've been listening to St. John's Lutheran Church, 120 West Water Street, Sydney, Ohio. May God's glory abide with us today. May the love of God be increased within us and extended towards our fellow worshipers. Welcome, children of God. We invite you to return and worship with us again.
Love I cannot deny, sure as the morning light.